Hello, welcome to Show and Tell. We've got today Sarah Kendall.
Hello, Robin.
The comedian.
Hi.
Josie Long, the comedian.
Hello.
And Martin White, the accordionist and anecdotalist. But generally the anecdotes are about the accordion, though, aren't they really?
They tend to be accordion-centric.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where that goes. Now, I think today we may well be talking... I'm Robin Ince, by the way. What we're probably going to be talking about is, at some point, roller disco and general roller skating films.
Yes.
So I think we need a new theme tune from the one that we had last time.
I put so much work into that, Robin.
No, it's all right. We'll come back to that theme tune. And also, it means that the more you produce, the easier it is to sell in low numbers your CD over the internet.
Oh. So you know, that'll be fine. At you. That was a crack, incidentally.
It wasn't a crack at all. You're very negative, the Australians, aren't you?
Yes, we're as a people, generally speaking.
The problem we've got already is that we've screwed the rules of comedy by having two women. Which is the only point.
No. Two women on the bill.
Because I just had this uncontrollable urge to shop and clean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was thinking, why?
I've started menstruating.
Oh, that means I will. Oh. Yeah, now I have. Yeah.
Martin, what are you doing?
Menstruating!
Oh, you can't menstruate. Oh, Martin.
I synchronise when I'm in a room with women. My pattern synchronises with the girls.
He's moody. He's moody. Just don't listen to him.
Because it is true, though, isn't it? That's the rules. Rules of comedy are you can have more than one woman on a bill if it's something like National Woman's Day or a tour supporting a female soap.
Or like an ovarian cancer awareness kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's the other, you know. Did you cover that?
Gender-specific cancers, yeah.
Yes, that's, yeah.
Anything else than that, and what happens is it's not funny at all anymore. At all.
Because women are novelty acts. That's the thing, that if you can't have a juggler and a woman on a comedy bill.
Same with fire-breathing musicians.
Mime.
all those mime artists that I've never worked with.
It's tragic.
I love it. I want you to follow me around.
No, I've already got him doing that. Find your own accordionist, Kendall.
It's not the first time that's been said to me.
So do you ever, Josie, do you normally, when you're doing clubs, you're normally, I presume, put on in the middle, because it's like, because club promoters are wary, though, aren't they? They have this kind of thing of going, oh, you see, if we put a woman on first, everyone will go, oh, it's one of those theme
cancer
nights. It's a cancer theme night. There's a bosom man on.
I was meant to dress as a tumour. Yeah, there is that.
So, no. Martin, can we now have something that suggests roller disco or roller skating stroke blade movies?
Okay. No, that's not it.
No, that's not it.
No, well, it would have to be something a bit disco-y, really, wouldn't it? Okay. Accordion's not very good for that, but okay.
That's great, because that is actually just like, I can't remember the name of the film. There's a film which is basically, it starts out going, yeah, my name's Mr. Big Time. We're going to close down the roller rink and we're going to turn it into a great big car park. You can't close the roller rink. It's the only thing the kids have got in this town.
That sounds like the beginning of Xanadu. Do all roller skating movies follow the same beats and progressions? We're going to close this down.
No, they don't. Actually, there's different forms of roller. The reason we have that music is actually because Sarah Kendall is an enormous fan of the film Xanadu with... Olivia Newton-John.
And Gene Kelly.
And the name of that bloke, Michael Beck.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
A hint of Asperger's just went across everyone's
computer speakers.
He
is the poor man's Andy Gibb, I think. He's got that sort of feathered mullet, slim line, big teeth kind of look. I imagine they tried for Andy Gibb.
You see, I haven't seen this film at all. I haven't seen it.
You must have seen a roller skating movie, though.
No, I've never seen a roller skating movie.
Have you seen roller skates?
I've seen Starlight Express four times.
Oh, that's
when I was 10, not now.
Mm.
I wouldn't go now.
No,
even if
hell
it was free.
Really?
Yeah,
I would go for free.
Go if it was free.
Really? What if I said to you and me tonight? I got tickets. I reckon you would. I reckon you're lying.
Would you buy me dinner as well?
Of course I would.
Yeah, right.
And dancing.
All right.
I've got flowers.
See what happened.
Corsage.
So you've never
seen the best day ever.
I can't. This is now being like, there used to be a show on TV called On the Move, which was about two truckers, one of whom couldn't read, played by Bob Hoskins. And each week it was about how they learnt. You know, this bloke learnt to read different things, going, well, you can't read the road sign. No. Well, he says this. It's very simple. Break up the word.
Hang on, right, listen. This man was allowed to drive a truck, but he couldn't read.
No, he was the assistant of driving the truck. He was the one who went, do the gears.
That's a massive plot flaw.
You're responsible.
Yeah.
But I feel that you're taking the Bob Hoskins
part. Slow down or speed up? I don't know. I'll speed up. Bam. It is a thing.
Yeah, that would be a great first episode. I would watch that program.
So how did Bob Hoskins make his name initially?
Well, all wrong. He got Hodgkinson, and then he did the show, and he learned how to spell it.
See, if any of us had made that joke, you would have gone, ha ha, very funny.
He's a bully.
No, I am a bully. But anyway, so now, to show that I'm a bully, basically, I feel that this is the same as that Learning to Read show, where we've got Josie Long, and we're teaching her how to say the names of West End musicals. I want to go and see Starlight Express. By the end of the show, you can say Starlight Express and Mac and Mabel. Mac and Mabel.
Have you ever seen that film where instead of wars, they had a big robot, right? And no, listen, this is true. No, each country had to nominate someone to motor the robot. And the robots fight each other. And basically, if the robot loses, your country loses. So it's a big deal.
That is such a good way to do things.
Yeah. But they fight to the death.
Ah, right.
But massive robots, like...
Are the people inside the robot?
Yeah, there's a person in the cabin of it, and they, like, operate it.
Right.
It's like, come on, Robin, you must know that.
Is it one of those later Godzilla movies where Godzilla, there's also a robot Godzilla?
It's nothing to do with Godzilla. It's a futuristic society where instead of wars, they nominate one person to fight in a big robot.
This is a big call, but I reckon Michael Beck might have been in it. I reckon that is the caliber of movie that our Michael Beck from Xanadu might have helmed.
So, yeah, Xanadu.
Yeah.
There's a reason that we talked about roller skating, which is Sarah Kendall, you have brought today to show and tell your... Oh, I've just thrown around with the microphone. You have brought to show and tell your favourite thing ever.
It's the CD of Xanadu. It's the music by Electric Light Orchestra. Jeff Lynne, great falsetto. Mm-hmm. And there's also one song that is a duet with Cliff Richards.
Cliff Richards?
Yes.
Oh, he's very good.
He's very good.
He's got my favourite opening to, as Martin knows, my favourite opening to any book, his autobiography, which is called, one of his autobiographies called Which One's Cliff? Is he a pop star? Is he a Christian? He doesn't know.
I don't know or care.
But his opening line, you will after you hear the opening line, his opening line is, even to this day, I still don't know whether monkeys swim underwater. It's the best opening line of any autobiography, because you think that Cliff Richard's going to go on an exploratory journey into, you know, the evolutionary theories of the subaquatic monkey, but he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Never mentioned again.
What is the metaphor? Like,
That's it. It's just a hook. At no point, he just says that. He goes, if monkeys swim underwater. Anyway, I was born in India, right? And my real name's Harry Webb. And you go, what about the monkeys? And I think later on he pushes a baboon into an ornamental pond.
That was Olivia Newton-John, you idiot.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I should leave it because you've got Olivia Newton-John is your national icon.
Pretty much. Yeah, well, there's her and Steve Irwin.
Can I interject that, you know, round the twist off of Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The other day I was in the Soho Theatre in the bar after my show, and I met this boy who was sort of hanging around with some friends of mine. He was Australian, and he was introduced as Pickles, and I thought, I really recognise him. Went home. He was only the youngest boy out of Round the Twist.
No way.
I only met him.
What is Round the Twist? I've got no idea.
Round the Twist was a kids' show in the early 90s. It was an Australian show. It was about a guy who was kind of a bit bohemian, and he owned a light. He lived in a lighthouse.
Pedophile.
With his kids.
Pedophile.
And there were ghosts.
Pedophile.
Yeah, in the lighthouse, the ghosts of children.
Pedophile.
He's killed the children, according to Sarah. He's killed the children and then keeps their new spirits
in between the lines.
There was a guy who wanted to buy the lighthouse because this guy who was like a John Howard, is that the Prime Minister in Australia?
Yes, it is.
It's like
he's
a
the
John
one that whenever
Howard
you
figure.
See him on TV, you go, no, he can't be. He's not like, what?
No, I know. He was, I want to hear
like, he was a bit like sort of, he was like the worst baddie Australian ever guy. And his wife, who was really like, oh no, we're not going to go anywhere near there. It was like that. And he had two sons who were like, we're going to beat you, Twists. And then the Twists were like a pretty girl and a guy who liked rock and a little boy. And the little boy was the one I met. And anyway, what happened was these amazing, like kind of gross, but kind of scary, but kind of romantic and brilliant adventures with different ghosts. And it was genuinely my favourite programme when I was growing up.
Let's get back to Xanadu. Sure. We've already gone to the pedo lighthouse, and which again is a nice idea for another film, Josie. Keep noting these dreams down.
A robot pedo lighthouse. It would be a robot pedophile.
In the future, wars are settled by lighthouses. We've got a problem. They're quite static on the rocks. Oh, okay.
Robot pedophile?
But you're such a big fan of Xanadu that you were 4 years old, you entered Junior Showtime.
No, I didn't. I was just in my bedroom with a tape deck, and I had figured out that you could record yourself singing. I figured it out. I was a very smart child. And I would sit in the bedroom and sing songs and play them back and dance to it and stuff. And so I recorded. I found a tape of myself singing the title track from Xanadu. I don't know if they've been able to transfer it.
Well, I think they have, so we're going to hear it, but we may not. There's a possibility we out there won't hear it because of legal reasons.
Oh,
so let's have a listen to Sarah Kendall. Right, we've had a meeting and we're all quite prepared to give up our fees so that we can actually buy the rights to...
Oh, yeah. They're not for sale. This girl's not for sale.
You were no way four. I reckon you were about eight when you did that.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was last week.
Yeah. It was last week.
What I love is the fact that you'd go, well, I like dancing and I like dance to music, but I feel that I could probably do something with Olivia Newton-John Xanadu and make it better to dance to if I sing myself... Oh, this is much better.
Well, you know, it's like Michael Bublé doing a take on the old standards. I feel like I am the Michael Bublé of the Olivia Newton-John fan base that I'm doing a new take on her old classics.
What kind of bath does Michael Bublé have?
I don't know.
Michael Bublé bath.
Oh!
Now, the great thing is...
I thought you said bath, and then I had to rejig the...
I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's my...
Josie, what have you brought with you?
I've brought this thing that I made. I think I was very either lonely or bored. What it is, it's a walnut that I've
found. Can we have an age specific thing? Yes, is this last week
I was 21 years old when I made this. It's a walnut hollowed out, painted red on the inside. And inside it, I've made little clay models of all the people that I really cared about at the time.
Oh my goodness.
That's so lovely.
You made all those?
Yeah, some of them are really good. Like this one, for example, is my friend Julie, and it looks exactly like her.
Can I say, when you were 21 years old, then you were at Oxford University, weren't you?
Yeah.
So you were probably the only person at Oxford University painting the inside of walnut shells and creating a tiny family.
What are they made from?
That's probably true.
My goodness.
Clay.
And what is Jay? What's
that means it's Julie, so I recognise her. This is my ex-boyfriend, Daly. It's exactly what he looks like. It looked like.
What's on his T-shirt? Is it a logo?
Yeah. Oh, which T-shirt was that? That was supposed to be his T-shirt that said Zero. It's a Smashing Pumpkins T-shirt.
Oh, I had a T-shirt, a Zero T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a goatee by the looks of it.
He did, yes. Nice. And then this is my grandma who died really recently. It's really sad. But I was thinking about this because I thought
I'd
bring it in.
But she lives on inside a painted walnut shell.
Which is the best place to live on. But it's got like my brother and my dad and my mum and my sister and my friend Tasha. But the thing is, like... What worries me is that it's supposed to be like to look after the people, but I've split up with that boy. My grandma died.
So this is like a dad's army
curse.
This is the walnut shell of doom. Yeah. Get them out.
Who's next?
I'm not in there, am I?
Crush one of them.
You're in there, but you've only got one leg. I'm just saying. Can I also say, I drilled holes in the bottom of it with a tiny miniature drill.
To let them breathe?
No, so I could keep it. Class.
I'm talking to you like you're totally insane. Is that to let them breathe?
We do hear. She was 21 years old.
I've bought fish oil because apparently it's first half the time they say it's really good for you, the other half of the time they say it has no benefits at all, and it's supposed to be good for sort of mental clarity. So I thought we could all take some and then
see if
by
we're
the
better.
End
well, I can't. Tell I'm vegetarian.
Fish oil.
Yeah, well, what do you think they do? They milk the fish. They milk the oil out of the fish
it,
and then throw it back in.
They give it a little stroke and then it goes, oh, and that releases the oil.
Can you bite into it and taste it? I would love to watch you bite
you
to bite into the capsule.
Double dare you
yeah, right, double dare. Double dare. Accepted. Okay, I'm biting into the fish oil capsule. Here I go, everyone.
Okay, well, we'll all take one and just see if we get more intelligent, right?
No,
even though technically I'm killing a fish.
It's like you're biting down on one of those suicide things that secret agents have.
Okay. Oh my god, I was like drinking a pilchard.
How many are you
Is it really gross? Ladies and gentlemen, she drank it all. Sarah Kendall is an official badass.
Sarah Kendall accepts a double dare.
Yeah, no returns.
Suddenly Sarah Kendall went, I think the thing about Schopenhauer is the fish oil, it's working. As long as it works long enough for her to go to the university and do that lecture. Oh no, I've run out of fish oil.
I have to get, if anyone can bring me a Coca-Cola or something, that would just be
oh
awesome.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Right. Well, no, she bit into it. She's an idiot. Right.
I resent
so,
that.
So, you are.
You have no concept of a double dare, the importance of the double dare.
It's all about miniature acts of bravery.
Yeah, right.
You
so, and we will put the miniature people that you've got in a walnut.
I'll tell you what, I've got a mango. Do you want some?
Can I bite into it?
What's going on?
I brought a mango. I thought we
you've lost concentration again of what we're doing.
We've got attention.
We're recording a thing.
I thought everyone might like a mango. It was show and tell.
That is okay. A fairly... And mangoes are hugely popular. It's right. Not like she's brought in fish... Oh, hang on.
Martin, what have you brought something to show and tell today?
I have. I've brought a...
I hope, mainly visual... requiring an enormous amount of imagination from anyone who might be listening.
It is. I'll do my best to describe it, though. It's a sculpture. It's made of lead, and it's a kind of arch-shaped, and it's got a musical note made of metal stuck right. To the front of it.
We'll put that on the website as well, so people
we'll
can
put
see
it on the
what
website. It is. Oh, and it's also got letters all over it.
Right, what are the letters? What are the letters?
The letters are other random letters like P, L, K, D, C,
U. What is it?
It weighs an absolute ton. I'll pass it around so you can see how heavy it is. And if you could all audibly gasp at how heavy it is just to get that. Yeah.
I underplayed that one. Did you like that?
It is. It's something I'm very proud of.
God,
it is.
It's very heavy.
When I was 19, I spent a year living in a small German village.
What on earth have
teaching,
you written?
Teaching English to. To sort of 16-year-olds. This is a very small town, and while I was there, I was drafted to
fucking
write...
Hell.
Yes.
Josie!
Sorry.
I was brought in... I had to write the school musical. All the kids wanted to do a musical, but nobody wanted to write it. And the only people who wanted to be involved in it, because it was drama and it's sort of sad, but were girls, because none of the boys wanted to be involved. And... but it had to be a romance, and so I ended up writing. This is absolutely true. I ended up writing a musical about 16-year-old German lesbians in an all-girl boarding school who enter a dancing competition, and it became a sort of minor hit around the area. It toured all the theatres.
Isn't it? You wouldn't think that a load of 16-year-olds playing lesbians in a boarding school would be popular.
It was amazing, but the community commissioned that sculpture from a prominent local artist to honour my contribution to the community, and that's how they represented the German lesbian musical.
What was it called? Das Sapphic.
it was called Wer will denn schon gewöhnlich sein? Who'd want to be normal anyway? It was a line from the play. You know, it's you're not normal, and one of the lesbians goes, who'd want to be normal anyway? And it was a really, really bizarre experience for the audience as well, because the two pushiest girls in the school who wanted to play the lead roles of the two main lesbians in it were identical twins.
Oh, that's creepy.
And so it was really so. Not only was it sisters sort of playing lesbians kissing on stage, it was identical twins. So it was actually very difficult to follow the story because you never knew which one was which.
Sisters had to kiss each other.
That is like
the sisters kissed each other on stage.
Fantasy.
Yeah,
it was purely. It was the circumstance. It grew out of the circumstances that they insisted on it being a love story, but only girls would want to be involved in the production. There was something else I wanted to bring in, which the local newspaper... I looked for it this morning, I couldn't find it, but there was the local newspaper sent real lesbians to see it. They were flown in from somewhere else. they got as a kind of like idea for a feature in the local paper. They sent real... And I've got this headline from this German newspaper, and translated into English, it says, "Approved by real lesbians."
Wow.
And there's a photograph of my
Katie
of my
Lang.
Musical. Yeah, exactly. And they said, like, you know, "You're real lesbians, you've seen this play about lesbians, what do you think of it?" And they said, "Oh, we think this is good. This sort of reflects our plight and whatever."
And I love the fact you did it under duress. None of the boys wanted to be involved. So as a 19-year-old, I had to just direct some 16-year-old lesbians. It was really hard.
He went into the common room and went, "Any boys interested in English? Any boys?" No? Okay.
I have just read this Nancy Friday book because I had to write a thing about it. There's Men in Love, which is one of Nancy Friday's books, has one of the best phrases ever in a book, where one bloke's fantasy involves, he goes, "Anyway, I'm on this beach, right, and there's all nude women in that." Because the difference is, in her women's ones, it's loads of women going, "I imagine that I live on a plantation, and Mungambo," the lead slave, comes in. "He throws me to the ground. I don't want it, but suddenly I do." but then there's lots of ones about dogs and stuff as well, and I'm just spring cleaning in the nude and next door's Great Dane comes in. Uh-oh. But That's theme for sex with a dame. But the one in the men's sports is mainly just men going, oh, sometimes I imagine I'm on a beach and all the women are nude and that. So there's kind of no...
But it's not elaborate, I think.
No, it's not. Yeah. Sometimes I imagine this woman comes around and she does it to me. That is my fantasy. It's brilliant. But there's one description where he goes, now I'm walking down the beach. At this point, I'm casually masturbating. And it's just the image of casual, just da-da-do, whoop-a-boo, just having a little casual masturbation.
It just seems to be doing things that are kind of illegal and creepy. You know, like, in terms of that, you know, if I was walking down the street casually masturbating, it's up there with, like, littering or jaywalking. It's just kind of...
an annoyance to people.
An annoyance, that's right.
I think if you were bug-eyed and doing it, you know, like that, people would go, ugh. Otherwise, people would just kind of go, I wonder what that bloke is. Oh, yes. Come on, children. Come away.
Yeah. Don't go near Robin Ince.
That's... No, not me. It was in the book.
Yeah, right.
I would never do such a thing. So we're nearly... Now, I've got a couple of questions for you as well, which I wanted to find out. I was on a train from Aberdeen to Inverness.
Yes.
The other day.
Going across the top of Scotland.
Yeah, across the top of Scotland. I was on the train and there was a couple who had a toddler with them. I don't know, probably two-ish. I'm not great on, you know, I can't tell the age of children without cutting them in half and counting the rings. And
that's not true. You picked that I wasn't four on the Xanadu thing. Like, you were eight, and it's absolutely true I was eight. I wasn't four.
No, I knew you weren't four. You definitely, that was not a 4-year-old.
I don't know why I said four. It's like part of the, I just had gone, I was like four. When I say, I've got the same disease, when I go like four, that means anywhere from, you know, baby
to 10.
When I
say I was about 12, I mean I was like 16.
Yeah, exactly. 10. I kind of meant it in that I was a child, you know. But
no,
you
but I can tell the age of a child through show tune, but not through merely visual stimuli. No, this is what I wondered. On that train journey, there was this toddler on, as I said, I'm not certain of the age because they weren't doing a show tune.
Yes, yes.
There was another bloke on the train. He was kind of waving, you know, the way that men, to a certain point, when there's a certain age of child, they kind of go, ooh, and the children go, la, 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 like that. But what do you think is the age where the child is that kind of crossover point where a man, where it goes, oh, it's quite sweet, a man waving at a baby or waving at a toddler, to stop waving, it looks like you're grooming?
15.
No! It's less than 15. Not waving, but grooming. So what do we reckon?
I think you answered this very well.
Well, you think 15 is the oldest?
No. You said when we were sort of having a bit of a chat about this, how you said it goes away and then comes back again.
Yeah, it does.
I absolutely agree with that.
So what's at what point, right? So
do you mean the age of the man or the age of the child?
First of all, the age of the child. Oh, the age of the man doesn't matter because even old men do
basically,
that thing, don't they? Because the old men touch the skin of babies sometimes and go, maybe some of it will be sucked into my wrinkled visage.
I think it's actually child-led, this, right? Because up until the age of about 10, a child might instigate a wave with a man. Like, they might be like putting their head around the back of the seat going, like, well, whatever. They will attract the attention of the stranger, right? So it's as long as the child is still childy, so I reckon 10, maybe even 11.
Oh, that's dangerous nowadays,
a young
11. I'd say.
Yeah. A young 11.
It depends on how provocatively dressed the child is, I think.
If they're dressed like a slut.
Yeah, they, you know, it depends. Like if she's wearing like a boob tube and hot pants and high-heeled thongs.
I wish I'd
never
brought this up now. We still haven't really got to the bottom of what age you should stop waving at children. No, look at me doing a funny face.
No, now listen, here's how it works.
Right.
Waving at babies, waving at anything that is basically too small to be waving back is fine.
Right.
But then it will reach the age where it has its own personality and then it's child-led. If the child is playing with you, you can play back.
Yeah.
But not too enthusiastically.
Are you allowed to make a gesture, uncertain whether to wave at the child? You attempt a slight wave if the child waves back, or the child always has to start it?
I think the child always has to start it.
Right. Anyway, we haven't quite got round. We forgot to pick up where we left off, which is last week we were meant to start off on talking about ants, and I forgot. So, Sarah, hopefully you can... basically, I found out that Edward O. Wilson said that there is a greater weight of ants on the earth than human beings, which I think is an amazing... Someone's done that sum. They've
That's
worked
amazing,
it out. It's incredible. And we were going to discuss that on this show because Rod Gilbert ended up talking about it. So, Sarah, could you just tell us what you... If you have a particular favourite fact about ants or about the natural world, or unnatural world, or robots that are used in battles with Fred Savage inside them. Any of those things.
You're just asking me to say a sentence.
Yeah. No, you know, you can talk about what you want.
Oh.
But particularly about ants, preferably. Just because we forgot about The Weight of Ants.
Oh, I watched the movie Ants on the aeroplane.
Oh, I've seen that film.
Yeah, with Woody Allen.
Like it.
I liked it too.
I love Woody Allen.
He's so hilarious. Yeah. And Annette Bening, I think, was the other
and
ant.
And Christopher Walken.
Yeah, he was the
Gene Hackman, in fact.
Gene Hackman was the colonel. Yes, that's right.
Yes. Have you seen Empire of the Ants, though, with Joan Collins?
No.
Oh, she goes onto an island. Oh, bloody hell, you won't believe it. They did not mention in the brochure there were giant ants on this island.
No.
I always remember there was a point where Joan Collins was on some chat show, and I think it was Michael Aspel going, "Now, you've been a star and the top of your game for 40 years. And I thought, not really. It was only Dynasty, didn't it? If you look at her films, things like Empire of the Ants, Lady Godiva Rides Again, Tales that Witness Madness, Tales of the Crypt.
She did a movie with Richard Burton back in the 50s and about a cast of people on a boat. And they were trying to survive on a
speaking of which, now there is a film about a boat, right? But you don't realise until halfway through that the boat is a metaphor, and all the people on the boat have committed suicide, right? Or died, and the boat is going to heaven, right?
It's an old 30s movie, isn't it, with Leslie Phillips or someone like
that?
Yeah, not Leslie Phillips, Leslie.
I really like that film, and I can't remember what it's
called.
We'll
find out what it's called, but I think it's the end of the show. So, well, next week we'll talk about the boat going to heaven. Martin, if you could just do some kind of music there.
I'll play robots.
No, not robots. It's more been a roller skating.
Oh, yeah,
intro,
that's right.
Okay. Didn't get around to any ant stuff. I'm quite annoyed. There we go. Robin Ince's Show and Tell was produced by Robin Ince. It wasn't really. I just sat here, but for some reason there's some contractual thing. I don't know why. Sarah Mahoney and Helen Quigley. Well, Sarah Mahoney wasn't here either, to be honest, so it's an absolute nonsense. For more online entertainment, take a look at Paramount Comedy Shortcuts, brand new original material made exclusively for Paramount Comedy by current and rising stars of the comedy circuit. Visit paramountcomedy.com/shortcuts to check them out. Thanks to Sarah Kendall.
Josie?
And, Josie Long. Josie Long, you've left mango all over the microphone. And Martin White.
God,
why did you do that at the end? It spoiled it. It was a really highbrow discussion.
Sarah Kendall, actually.